Paid for by IMIC Incorporated.
The Cure with Amy Cabo is brought to you by IMIC Research. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We're live every Friday at 2 p.m. on 880 The Biz. You can listen online at godisthecure.com, and later the show will be available as a podcast too through our webpages, godisthecure.com. Our show covers topics such as how to overcome trauma, abuse, mental illness, common misconceptions, treatment, healing options, and positive behaviors, as well as we provide education through testimonials and awareness and through professionals in the field. Today, I am joined by Dr. Boris Nikolov.
Hello.
And we have a very special guest who is Kirk Adner. Let me tell you a little something about Kirk. He's a motivational speaker, featured in Forbes Speaker, Thought Leader, a suicide survivor, and an author. Kirk shares his insight and the lessons learned in his latest book, Dogmen. And today, the topic that we will be discussing is the question that a lot of us ask ourselves. Does the outside world define us? And I can tell you, from my point of view, my actions do not depend on how people judge me. My actions only depend on God's judgment. It's my relationship with God that matters the most, not how the world relates to me. I've been judged most of my life, but the only judgment that concerns me is God's, not even my own, because I can be a tough critic when it comes to myself. And coincidentally, this morning I saw in the news SAT scores requiring personal questions like, where do you live? How much do your parents make? What are your family dynamics? And I believe that working hard, doing the right thing, having the right attitude, with a little bit of self-discipline and making the grade should be enough. We should not be defined by our circumstances, our ethnicity, our belief, or the belief of others, but by our abilities and by what we have to offer. So, I'd like to present to you Kirk Adner.
Hey, thank you for having me on your program.
Thank you
very much.
So much for being on this show, Kirk. And I have to tell you that I was reading a little bit about you, and I know that you're a motivational speaker, and you've been even recognized by the President, Ronald Reagan, which is amazing, but that you specialize in things that are so important in today's world that everybody deals with. You specialize in triggering personal development, finding motivation, living with awareness, moving towards actualization, practicing mindfulness, maximizing your relationships, making diversity universal, avoiding depression, suicide prevention, and being unconditional love. Where would you like to start when it comes to the world defining us? And is there anything you don't know?
I've had quite a journey. My career path looks a lot like Spaghetti Junction. But, again, it's a pleasure to be on the program. Amy, my life is kind of a life of contradiction. I had a wonderful childhood growing up in Nashville, Tennessee. I've got some great parents. Our father had a good job. My brother and sister and I all got to go to private school. I went on to college where I was actually recognized by Ronald Reagan for some work I was doing. So the point is, while my life on paper looked normal, it wasn't perfect, but it was normal. And that's why it would be so unbelievable, just so ironic, that 20 years after I graduated, I had reached such a depression. I was so miserable. In fact, I had come to the conclusion, Amy, that the only reason I had been born was to suffer.
I know that,
I didn't think I would ever enjoy any kind of happiness for myself. So I was in a suicidal depression, and there on a couple of occasions over a a four-week period, I tried to end my own life. But, you know, the human spirit's very tenacious. Fortunately, I was able to move beyond that rough patch and get some help and start this journey I've been on for the last 20 years. And I just feel so thankful. And but I think what's been really remarkable are these basic principles that I've discovered that are critical in our pursuit of happiness. And so that's what my latest book is about, Flower Dog Man, principles that I think each one of us can hear and listen and use in our lives, in our pursuit of happiness.
Well, yes, I believe this is an excellent book. I mean, it's gotten excellent reviews and everything, and you have a lot of wisdom to share with the world. I'm very grateful for people like you. I have an interesting question. How can people rediscover themselves? How do they embark on this personal journey that you talk about, that they can find who they truly are as human beings?
That's a good question. You know, unfortunately, Amy, for most of us, it takes some sort of a devastating event in our lives to get us to start reconsidering, you know, what we're doing, who we are. Are we on the right path? And, you know, I was certainly an example of that. And my hope is for your audience today and with the book that people can be more, what I would say, prophylactic, in that they can do these, you know, start looking and considering the different changes they might be able to incorporate in their own life without having to hit the bottom. For example, you know, I know this is graduation time for schools all over the country, and there's a lot of hardworking kids out there that are graduating, and their full expectation is that once they get through their college, get that degree and get that diploma and get that job and move to the right town and buy that right house and settle down, the assumption is that by default, they're going to all be happy. Well, I've discovered that I don't think that's really that's the way we all become happy. In fact, all those things, they are important, but they're truly not the most important things that we have about ourselves. And I would suggest that really, well, my premise is this. I believe that when you're born, you are perfect. You're given a name and you're a perfect human being. And what that means is there's nothing that you have to prove either to yourself or anybody. You don't have to prove your humanity. In fact, my thought is actually when you're born, you're unconditional love. And you have the complete and full potential to remain unconditional love all the days of your life. But unfortunately for most of us, we start losing sight of that as we get older and older. Well, and we simply start defining ourselves other ways.
I'm so glad to have spoke to you, because I do agree with you. And that's my point of view, too, because I believe we are all made in Christ's image. And therefore, when we have kind thoughts, all the goodness that comes out of us, it's because we were born that way. We were born perfect. And sometimes when our actions can make us stray away from that. And we can, you know, sometimes make our own bad situations. And that, but I saw a preacher on TV not too long saying, well, people, their heart, they really want to do bad things. They want to be selfish. They want to be greedy. They want to do all that. And then God comes and rescues you and changes your heart. And I was wondering who was right.
Well, I agree with your premise. I think when we're born, we are unconditional love. And what that means is that we can love ourselves and we love other people the same way. And I think, so what it really looks like, as we start to lose that, it becomes what I think our ultimate journey. And the best,
yes,
the best path that we can get on is to try to regain that unconditional love.
Hello?
Somewhere along the way. Are you there?
A guest on the air. Okay. Hi. Okay, put down the phone. Oh.
I'm still here, Amy.
Okay, yes, I'm here with you. I just, I didn't know I had another call coming in. And
okay.
I will join her in a little bit right after the break, but I'm sorry, you were talking about rediscovering yourself and finding who you really are, not letting the world define you. Because a lot of times we are confined by what people think or how everyone else does it or how it's supposed to be. And I'll give you an example. For every wrong that's done, people expect justice, right? Mm-hmm. That's what society tells you. Now, with all the wrongs that have been done in my life, and it was my own family, and all the people that have wronged me, I can't tell you I've seen justice. But justice was not necessary for me. My justice was being able to love, being able to feel happiness, being able to be grateful, being able to feel peace, being able to stay honest, hardworking, and loyal, and all the good attributes I've acquired as a result of everything I have overcome. But most of all, my ability to grow even closer in my relationship with God.
That is very honorable, your approach there. You know, I think to me there's sort of an ancient mantra of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that was sort of the old way, I think, to compromise or settle conflicts with people. But your approach, you know, being able to love someone unconditionally, no matter what they have inflicted or done to you, well, I think that's really behaving the way that Jesus did or would have. And I really think that's when we act that way, what we truly are is a Holy Spirit. And it's just something that's so incredible and beautiful to behold.
That's amazing, because I see that one of the things that you work with, that it includes the series that includes thinking like Jesus, which I find amazing, because I think Jesus gave the best example possible how to live life. And trust me, I've tried to live the life that Jesus has taught us, even try to keep the Ten Commandments, and I haven't always been successful, but you gotta at least try. I think that's what God expects of us, to try. And today I read on Facebook, it says, there's only three things you need to do in life. Do the right thing. Always try to do the right thing. And then the second thing was, whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability. And would you believe, I don't remember the third thing. But I thought that was very important, because if you're not doing the right thing and you're not doing the best of your things to the best of your ability, you're only hurting yourself.
Well, you know, I think you're right on target there. And you know what's really amazing to me, Amy, is just it sounds so simple to love and love other people the same way, yet somehow the human race has made that a very, very difficult process. You know, and I would suggest that the biggest problem in the human condition is we really don't understand who we are as human beings. See, we only think we know who we are as human beings. And inevitably, that's going to cause conflict or disappointment and just unhappy endings, I believe.
Well, there's nothing better than putting yourself in the other person's shoes and try to understand it from their point of view. I think that helps, you know, helps get a conversation going. And it's just that we're sometimes so concerned about the way that we see things and the way that we would do things and the way that we would feel. And we have to understand that everybody has to be like everyone else. We could be different. We could step outside the box. We could set a good example. We don't have to let our society, the environment, or anything else define us. I think only really God can define you, as he already has since the day we were born.
Well, you know, and I think what you're referring to there, the way I interpret that, is, and it's probably one of our most subtle exercises that we do as humans, is just how often we judge other people. You know, what I've discovered, fortunately, in my life is the only thing I can truly control is myself.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I mean, that's a handful, and it takes about a lifetime to figure that out. But so how I interpret that, though, Amy, is that mean if I can't control another person,
at least you yourself.
Why do I need to be judgmental about that person? For example, invariably, one of the most lightning rod of our society anymore is who is sitting in the office of the President of the United States. Well, it's not part of our civic responsibility to voice our opinion each and every day on social media about what we think how the president is doing. So I've made it a deliberate practice that I do not I do not participate in those kind of conversations, because what I've discovered for myself, when I do that, they do not take me down that path towards genuine happiness. In fact, I find that participating in those just get me extremely agitated. And really, you know, my voice in that regard is wouldn't have any impact at all. So that's one of the practices that I follow. I refer to it as noise cessation. I choose not to be a part of the noise that I hear all around me every day.
Is it you, or did you used to be a politician?
No. No, hardly. I think I had an office in high school or in my college fraternity, but I
okay, you know, it's someone else. Never mind. But, you know, when we come back, we're going to talk about how people can be unhappy comparing themselves with colleagues at work, the social media, friends and neighbors. And this is very interesting. This would be great. This is, for anyone that's just tuning in, I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure.
And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Hi, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. Today we're talking about how to love yourself, how to overcome things in society and today's world. And our special guest is Kirk Abner. Also, we had someone call in by the name of Lillian. Hello, Lillian. You're on the air.
Hi,
how are you?
My name is Lillian Newman, and as you know, recently you discovered that I am your second cousin. So I want to talk about that whole self-validation, and you know, we're all born into this world innocent and pure and trusting and childlike. And as life and humanity happens to us, things happen that hurt very deeply. I don't think that I have received my validation for healing from humanity so much as in prayer from God Himself. I have read your book, and I had to put it down several times because I broke down in tears and cried. I wish more than anything I would have been present to you. And I wish we would have known of you, but your mom kept us away from you. But we're back in touch now.
But I can tell you're my cousin. I mean, yes, my mother, all we knew was each other, the nine of us, the siblings. We didn't know we had aunts or uncles or cousins. But just recently, I did 23andMe about a week ago. And lo and behold, I have a cousin.
Yes, that's me. What I haven't really told you is that...
Turn off the radio, please. Oh, the radio. Just turn off your radio, Lillian, please.
What I haven't told you is that I share an abusive childhood and an incident as an adult. And I can tell you that only God can take that pain away.
Lillian, please turn down your radio. There's some static music in the background.
The computer off.
Okay, that's
what
better.
I wanted to say is that
I really want to hear what you're saying.
I understand, because as a child, I had a situation, and as an adult, I had a situation that broke my heart and it broke my faith. I was abused by a Roman Catholic nun. And I'm going to tell you that only God can take that pain away. Only He can heal you in prayer. We wait around for humans, and all we hear are silence, and people don't know how to handle it. People don't know what to do. And only God, all of our healing from all the stuff that happens in this life comes from the throne of grace, from going to God and saying, I can't do this by myself. I need your help. I need to get through this. And then if we allow ourselves to, He reaches through our pain. And He transforms us and makes us stronger. And then we can advocate for others who are hurting, and we can be better people. We've always been good people, and we are all born innocent.
And it's so nice that you share your testimony with us, Lillian, because I understand what it's like to feel that bad. And our guest, Kirk, he has at one point tried suicide. I know what that's like. I can tell you a few times I thought I might have died, or or anything like that. But Kirk, could you, I wanted to ask you, because what we were talking about, Lillian, was, you know, once you do go through trauma and you do maybe heal and maybe you're getting on with your life, how do we survive in a world that's so controlled by the social media, by the way that people view us, by our colleagues, by our neighbors? I understand most people want to feel accepted and loved.
Right.
And
we have to find out where that line is, where we end and they begin.
Well,
let me
ask Kirk here for a second. Kirk, can you tell us a little bit about what where you were able to find it, that once you tried to suicide yourself and you find your way and you were able to help others? What would you tell somebody who's struggling in this way,
right,
that is just having a hard time adjusting? Okay, so they went through trauma.
Good question. One of the steps that I've discovered, again, and you have to start developing an awareness of yourself and just be able to see yourself in context. You know, that's not natural for us, but one of the things that I really try to practice is this. You know, one of the great things, I look at life as being like a train ride, except this train that we're on doesn't go 60 miles an hour, it goes 60 seconds a minute. But the beautiful thing about this train ride of life that we're on is we do not have to carry any baggage.
Baggage in
the form of disappointment or resentment or loss or frustration or grudges. So, you know, I think nature is the best teacher of that. No matter how big the storm is today, tomorrow the sun is going to come back up. And I think we as human beings, we have that same opportunity and potential, but it's so important. So we have to let Mother Nature and time heal us. And I think one of the best ways to do that is we can control the things we think about, and we can particularly control the things we talk about. So I'm sorry about the events that's happened in your life. But what I've discovered is the best thing that I can do to move beyond that, see, it's been 20-something years for me, and is I just do not bring it up in conversation.
Right.
It's nothing that I think about,
well,
so I'm doing my best.
I needed to bring it up because I am family, and I wanted Amy to know when I read her book that I wasn't judging her and that I understood. Because, you know, being a survivor, when you come up to somebody and you say, hey, I'm a survivor, there are people that just basically say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You're weird. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because people are suffering. People are suffering. And I understand the dark times. I understand the many years that I went through depression, because I've always tried to be loyal to God by prayer. But I realized that prayer wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Faith was needed. I had to believe that God loved me, because I felt so bad about the things I had done, and I felt like I was a terrible person.